Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come into your presence once again. We thank you because every time we come to you, we are renewed, we are refreshed, and we are blessed. My Father, my God, as many as will hear your word today, because there is life in your word, Father, you will reinvigorate them in Jesus' name. Lord, we've just heard that all things are possible with you. Is there an area of anyone's life that is falling down right now? Let there be a building up in Jesus' name. Is there any part of anyone's life that is earmarked for destruction by reason of your word? Father, you will bring them back from the brink in Jesus' name. Is there anyone, O Lord, who is hopeless in this house this morning? Father, rekindle their hope in Jesus' name. Lord, is there anyone in the house living a joyless Christian life? My Father, my God, I pray that the joy of the Holy Spirit will fill such hearts now in Jesus' name. By reason of your word, may we prosper. Thank you, Father, for all that you have committed into our hands, O Lord. May we please you, O Lord. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to continue from where I stopped last week. Last week, if you look at it closely, we spoke about divine assignment, and we talked about grace, the role of grace in our lives. We said to us last week that every child of God must see themselves as being on a divine assignment, because you are definitely created for a purpose. You are not a happenstance. And we then said that an awareness of our relationship with God through grace is crucial to the way we see ourselves. And we said if we are going to be able to accomplish the purpose for which God has called us and sent us forth, because it's a divine assignment, we require divine approach. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that that approach, that is heaven design, will come your way in Jesus' name. We also talk about the fact that grace regenerates the heart unto obedience. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. Grace regenerates the heart unto obedience. Is grace, the grace of God in your life, that make you hear the word of God, tremble and yield to it? We also said that grace is the one that can harden your faith while your heart remains tender. Grace is the one that can harden your faith so you can stand in the day of adversity. Meanwhile, your heart will remain tender. We said grace is a multiplier. We said, in a life without grace,
5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes will forever remain 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And in fact, it will decrease as you eat out of it. And we said with grace, 5,000 can be fed and you still pack 12 baskets of leftover. That grace that multiplies will be made manifest in your lives in Jesus' name. We said grace is needed for bearing and forbearing. Grace is needed for bearing and forbearing. Praise the Lord. Today, I'm taking us further in the journey, talking about divine assignments. We look at the role of divine provisions. Divine assignments, part 2, we are looking at divine provisions. Can you please open your Bible with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 7. The book of Numbers, chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 4 to 9 in New Living Translation because it captures it better, or it makes it clearer than when you read it from King James Version. Are we there? Praise God. The book of Numbers, chapter 7, verse 4 to 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Receive their gifts and use these oxen and wagons for transporting the tabernacle. Distribute them among the Levites according to the work they have to do. Distribute them among who? The Levites. According to what? According to the work that they have to do. So Moses took the wagons and oxen and presented them to the Levites. He gave 2 wagons and 4 oxen to the Gershonite division for their work. And he gave 4 wagons and 8 oxen to the Merarite division for their work. But he gave none of the wagons or oxen to the Kohathites division, since they were required to carry the sacred objects of the tabernacle on their shoulders." Praise God. Is someone seeing what I'm seeing? First of all, the people brought what was needed for the construction of the tabernacle. And God gave Moses a formula for distributing the necessary instruments and resources. And because the Levites were the people that were responsible for managing the house of the Lord, these resources had to be distributed amongst them. And God gave specific instruction that Moses followed. Remember that the people we are talking about, they are all Levites. But of course, among the Levites, there were divisions. I'm not talking about misunderstanding. I'm talking about family by family. Many of us are acquainted with what I'm talking about. Because when we go to our towns and our villages, you will hear that these are the families who become kings. Usually there may be like 3-4 of them, and they rotate it among themselves. Am I right? Praise God. So among the Levites also, there were different families represented, and there was division of labor as regards what each of them or each of the families will be doing. So that when you see people bearing things on their shoulders, you know that they are the, who are they? Kohathites. Praise the Lord. When you see people who have wagons and they put things on the wagons, they are likely to be the Merarites or the other family. So God asked Moses to distribute according to what? According to what they have to do. It wasn't according to their numbers. It was not according to any other thing, but according to what they have to do for God. One of the principles I want you to know that underpins God's blessings is that God will bless you, God will give to you according to what God will require of you to do for Him. The blessings of God upon your life is not by accident. It is specific. It is for a purpose. If God blesses you financially, it is because God wants you to be a blessing to Him. He wants you to be His hand. He wants you to be an extension of His hand and His mouthpiece to reach on to the needy. Because He will always give according to what you have to do in the kingdom. If God wants you to be the shoulder upon which everyone can cry, He will give you ability to comfort people. And do you know how you develop the ability to comfort people? Have I shared it with us before? How many of us want to be able to comfort people and help people meet their needs? How many of us want to do that? Praise the Lord. How many of us? Amen. Do you know what you're asking for? Because the Bible says that you are going to comfort people according to the comfort with which you have been comforted. Is there in Thessalonians. In other words, things will have happened in your life that God will have had to comfort you. You have to depend on Jesus yourself. Once you have learned to depend on Jesus, you will then be able to tell other people to depend on Jesus. So, every gift that God will give you, it is because there is something, it is according to what you have to do in the kingdom. The same thing goes with position. The same thing goes with placement. Where God will position you, that place where you work, those people you have met, God has put you there to do certain things in their lives, to influence them. That is why when you keep quiet too much, you may not be playing your role. And you know what? The fact that you are hearing God's word this afternoon is because God wants to give you His word so that you can go and use it. Because He's giving you His word according to what you have to do. I believe the reason people come to church is because of the word of God. Anyway, that's why I come to church. And the word is the only thing we have, is the only weapon we've got. You may be a very faithful person. Your faith will save you in the day of temptation. Praise God. When the enemy comes at you, your faith will save you. You'll be running helter-skelter, just believing God. But the enemy will keep running at you, running after you, and you will keep running. The only weapon with which you can fight back is what? Is the word of God. Otherwise, just imagine all of us filled with faith, and the enemy is coming at us, and we keep running, we keep running. And there's never a time when we are on the attack. The word of God is the attack machine that we have. That is why God is giving it to you today. And it will prosper you in Jesus' name. He said, give to them according to the work that they have to do in the house of God. The fact that God has placed you in this church to hear the kind of thing you are hearing is because God is placing you somewhere, has placed you here, so that you hear what you are hearing for the work that God will have you do. Remember that the distribution of the resources was not equal. Was it equal? No. To a particular family, two oxen and some wagons, or two wagons and some oxen. To the other family, about six. To another family, nothing was given because of the nature of the work that God has called them to do. God has called them to bear the things of the tabernacles on their shoulders. God will not give you what you don't need. But that which you need, God will give it to you in Jesus' name. The other thing that I want us to be aware is this. Because they did not receive the same thing, and they are meant to do different things, we ought to learn the lesson that we too may be blessed in certain areas of our lives. In fact, you may be a specialist in a particular area. It does not necessarily qualify you to be a specialist in another area, because it may not be where God wants you to be. But where God wants you to be, He will supply all your needs, and you will fulfill the purpose for which He has created you in Jesus' name. You know what? Sometimes the simplicity of the provision or the vessels make a lot of us go astray. That indeed, this may be God's provision for you. But because you got it too cheaply, because you acquire it without sweat, because it was dropped on your laps, we do not develop the spiritual insight to look at everything that God has placed in our lives in terms of God assigning them to us for a purpose. And this is what I want us to begin to do. That anything and everything, no matter how intangible it may look, when God places something in your life, ask God, what will you have me do with this? Because He will give to you according to what He intends for you to do. Let me give us an example. Let's open to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 verses 9 to 14. Let's look at once the story of a man. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpa rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Praise the Lord. My prayer for you this afternoon is this, that those that we aid the fulfillment of God's counsel in your life, God will bring them to you in Jesus' name. It was the servant in the life of Naaman that caused there to be what? To be a change. God will place some people in your life that God will use to direct you to the place of the full fulfillment of the destiny of God for your life. There are some people that God may put beside you or with you that, look, do you know some servants, do you know what they will have done? Because they are sweet talkers, they will have wanted to say something that that man want to hear, because Naaman had already made up his mind he wasn't going to wash there, because those rivers were not big enough, they were not clean enough, they were not good enough. The servant could easily have told him, my master, you are a captain, a major general for that matter, maybe. How dare, that servant of God must be stupid. Something is wrong with him. Do you know, he's so full of himself. When you came, do you notice that the man did not even come out to speak to you? Doesn't he know who you are? Syria has just defeated Israel, and this man just sent his servant to come and speak to you. He didn't come out. What the Yorubas used to call Ifinipeni Afenyopenyo. What an insult. He just sent somebody to you, you a general. In fact, the guy will have been enraged and decided to, the man of God. Remember that when he brought a letter, the king of Israel was actually afraid. He said, who am I, God, that you send a letter to me that I should cure this man? He was actually afraid that the king of Syria may come invade if he didn't do it. Yeah, there was this man of God. He had that audacity, and he sat there and just sent his servant. He said, go and tell him. He didn't even bother. He said, go and tell him. Tell him to go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And the man talked to himself, I thought he would come out and touch me and just wipe away the leprosy. He didn't come out, and he just simply sent his servant to me. Not only that, of all the things that I could have done, he asked me to go and wash in a public water. Who is he? But thank God for people that God will place in your way. And the servant said to him, if this man has asked you for something, to do something more tedious, something more serious, wouldn't you have done it? And the man came to his senses. In the day you are in the crossroad, the Holy Spirit will minister to you in Jesus' name. The man came to his senses. You see, it was then I understood what Jesus meant when he said, for those who are rich in this world, that it may be very, very difficult to enter the kingdom of God. When you look at the fact that you are a man of power, you are a man of position, you are a man of skill, you are a man of riches, you are a man of connection, you are a man of wisdom, you know, everything. It can be difficult to embrace the simplicity of the gospel. You will not miss your time. I say you will not miss your time. Naaman went and dipped. And the Bible said his skin became whole like that of a child once again. Look, let me quickly show you something here. Let's open to Romans chapter 1 verse 28. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. In the face of the simple gospel, what needs to be of prime importance in our lives as we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh is what we are going to read in Romans 1:28. And I think I've said this over and over again. He said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So what am I saying? In all, no matter how simple it may be, retain God in your knowledge. It does not matter what you are going through. Do what? Retain God in your knowledge. Retain God in your knowledge. Everyone who retains God in their knowledge will never self-govern. God will begin to govern your life. God will begin to govern my life in Jesus' name. As long as we bring everything to the knowledge of God, everything is related to the knowledge of God, our understanding of God and what God has called us to do, God will begin to be the Lord indeed. Who is the Lord of your life? Who is the Lord? Maybe many of us may not appreciate what lordship means. Maybe we don't appreciate lordship anymore. In those days, I think I've told us the story of what happened to my dad before. Have I told us? My dad had a daughter. Very pretty daughter. Praise the Lord. And the king at that time saw the daughter and decided that she was going to, I'm telling you the true life story, said that he was going to marry this woman. And you know how they used to do it? Bought kola nut. They put it in, you know, in big calabash, and they sent it to my dad. Do you know what my dad did? I think they sent 21. My dad had to go and buy 42 and added it to the one they brought and sent it back to him. And the guy married the daughter and took the kola nut. Praise the Lord. That is lordship. I'm telling you, true life story. He sent the daughter, you know, the guy married the daughter and took kola nut from my dad. That is lordship. When the Lord is the Lord of your life, Job said, even though he slays me, I will praise him. Even though he slays me, I will do what? I will praise him. Even though things may not be going the way I want them to do, I will still praise the Lord. That is lordship. He will be the true Lord of your life in Jesus' name. I've told us before, if some of us were in the place of Abraham, when he said, sacrifice your son, Isaac, what would we have done? In truth, we will let everybody see that we took Isaac. But we'll let everyone see the knife that we are carrying. And we'll put plastic knife in our pockets, praise the Lord. So that when we get there, in case God fails, you know, we'll try to use plastic knife. The Lord will deliver us in Jesus' name. Do you know what? I've shared with those in the management committee before. I said, your miracle is in the stepping out. Your miracle is what? Is in the stepping out. When you have not trusted God enough to step out, you cannot fully take part in the miracles that come to the children of the kingdom. And I prove this to them. Let's open to the book of Joshua chapter 3 verse 14. Joshua 3. Verse 14 to 17. It says, and it came to pass, when the people removed from their tent to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan. Can we read the next place together? And the feet of the priests that bear the ark were deep in the brim of the water. For Jordan overflowed all his bank all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city, Adam, that is beside Saratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priest that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I've shared this with us before. God decided that the time for the children of God to cross was when? When the water was overflowing its bank. Not during the dry season. When it was plain for everyone to see that they were just foolish people, wishing to perish, obeying some kind of God. When it was obvious to everyone that these people, their leaders, were really, really foolish to want to take them through that water at that time of the year. But thank God for Joshua. He obeyed. And the Bible said, when they decided to obey according to the word of the Lord, as soon as the priests did what? They dipped their feet into that overflowing bank of the river. What happened? The river became cut off and separated wide enough for them to pass through. 6 million people. And for those of us in doubt, you know, if God has done it once, he can do it twice and many more times. I have a paper clip in there that I showed us. Scientists have, they've done whatever computer computation, and they said they now believe that indeed the Red Sea was parted. Praise the Lord. But when God said they should move, and they move at that time, things happen. Where God has placed you, it is for because of what you have to do. That is why you are there. Praise the Lord. That person that you know, it is because of what you have to do in their lives, that is why God has made you to do what? To know them. And the Bible now said in Joshua chapter 5, as soon as they crossed the river, what happened? All the kings around, they gathered people together before they came and said, look, we heard what God did in your life. Please, we want to make, you know, a treaty with you so that you are not going to attack us. I told us at the house fellowship on Tuesday, I said, look, miracles spread the gospel. Miracles in your life will spread the gospel to other people. if we allow God to have his way, the miracles he will perform in our lives will just spread the gospel. After they heard that the river was divided, everyone came looking for them. They want to be their ally. God will have his way in your home, in your work, in your spiritual life, in your physical health, in everything that pertains to you, in Jesus' name. You know what? Moses only had a rod or a staff. If you look at the life of Moses and Jacob, how many years did Jacob serve for? 14 years. Praise God. How many years did Moses serve for? He served for 40 years. You know, he ran away from Egypt, served for 40 years, came back to become the leader of the people. When Moses left Jethro, what did he take away with him? The only thing that went with him was the rod, and of course he had a wife with kids. Jacob, in his own case, actually had two wives with several kids and got more than half of the what belonged to Laban. But in the case of Moses, the only thing that he went with was the staff in his hand. The staff with which he used to walk. This is called faithfulness. That's what God told me. Faithfulness. Faithfulness with that staff in his hand. God was able to convert the staff to everything that Moses needed and desire. Not those two words. Not just the things he needed. Everything he desired. Whenever he needed the Red Sea to be parted, what would he do? He just needed to stretch forth that rod. Whenever he needed to create snakes, he just needed to put the rod down. And that rod became everything to him. When you are faithful to God, let me tell you something. The little in your hand will be greater than the abundance of the rich man around you. Praise the Lord. He had an ordinary rod. It became a history-defining rod in the life of the children of Israel. Because of what? Faithfulness. He didn't take anything away from Jethro. How many people will want to do things now if nothing will accrue to them? If there's no benefit to them, nobody will do it. But he went away just with the rod and he led the people of God at the age of 80. What about David? All that David had in his hand, you know, he had the sling and the stone. Not only that, he also had his instrument of strings, the harp. David's harp became what? Became an antidepressant to treat King Saul. When a king was suffering, he took the harp that David played for him to have a turnaround. And that same instrument became a means of deliverance for David. And I just look at it. Look, when David himself was under the burden of the kingdom, go and read Psalm 73. You will notice that there was a time that things became too heavy for David. And I could see why David would praise the Lord. He said he sang his way out of every difficulties, every situation. You can press your way out of every circumstance in your life. You can worship God and get out of that difficult situation. You can pray, sing when you don't feel like singing. Worship when you don't feel like worshiping. Do you know that there are some times I don't even feel like lifting up my hand? Look, all I want to really do is to fold my arms. But just lift those hands up to the Lord and worship him, irrespective of what you are going through. You will break through in Jesus' name. I want to let you know that the word of God is your provision. Is that provision that God has provided for you, even at this time, among the many things, among the many gifts that God has given you. Everything that God has provided for you is supposed to be turned around because it's according to what you have to do for God. That word that he's giving you it's a provision for what you have to do. Like I've told you, let's open to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. 2 Peter 1, 1 to 4. How many of us want to get some change back from our time? Praise the Lord. Okay. 2 Peter 1, 1 to 4. I will read. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise the Lord. I'm going to dwell for 2 minutes on verse 4. The Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, if you read the preceding verses, what the Bible is telling us is this: the extent of our prosperity in the Lord, the extent of our accomplishment in the Lord, is going to depend on our knowledge of him. It's going to depend on our understanding of him. After Jesus has been revealed and grace has been released to you, if you don't appropriate that, if you are not aware of it, if you don't have a deep knowledge of it, you will be a superficial feeder. Until you choose to go deep in the Lord, will the resources of heaven will be made available to you. And the Bible is now telling us in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, what God has given to you is what? Promissory notes. It's never the substance itself. How many of us have had promissory notes before? What God has given to you is what? Promissory notes. But not everybody will be able to convert their promissory notes to cash. Not everybody will be able to convert their promissory note to healing. Not everybody will be able to convert their promissory note to promotion. Not everybody will be able to convert their promissory note to peace. Not everybody will be able to convert their promissory note to insight, vision. Not everybody will be able to convert their promissory note to holiness and righteousness. God has great and exceeding promises unto us. Because by these promises, are you going to become what? Partakers of God's divine nature. When you say something is divine, what does that mean? Divine. That is, there's God in it. Divine. Divine. It's supernatural. So, by these promises, we'll become... The knowledge of these promises make us partakers of his supernatural nature. This knowledge will make us partakers of his spiritual nature. By this knowledge, we become partakers of his abundant nature. Everything that is the attribute of God is possible to us if we have the knowledge of God that is appropriate for us to tap into it. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, we'll continue to scratch the surface. We'll continue to scratch the surface. And that is not what God wants for us. If we are going to serve Him, let's serve Him to the point of reward. If we are going to declare that He's our God, let's serve Him to the point that people will see us crossing Jordan and they want to know that God that we serve. Because by reason of His divine nature in us, all things now become possible to us. I keep saying, I keep asking God, those kind of things that happens in Acts of the Apostles, when they happen now, you don't have to talk to anyone, because the glory of God will be made manifest. Once it's made manifest in your life, there is no stopping you. And I'm going to pray, and my prayer for you and for myself today is that the glory of God will be made manifest in our lives in Jesus' name. Psalm 1, verse 2 to 3. You know I love Psalm 1. I can preach Psalm 1 for 1 month. Praise the Lord. He said, For the righteous, the law of the Lord. Verse 2, he says, but for the righteous, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall do what? Shall prosper. Praise the Lord. In other words, because the righteous meditates upon the word of God day and night, the word of God becomes his water, his moisture, his fertilizer, his sunshine, everything that you need, you know, is the ground for his stability. That is why you cannot be moved in the day of adversity. That is why you are going to be victorious. And I've told you how God revealed that particular verse 3 to me. He said, the way God revealed it to me is this. He said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I do not see just in terms of physical prosperity. The way God showed it to me is this. Do you know that there are times when you need to be angry? If you are not angry when you are supposed to be angry, then something is wrong. If you see the devil having his way, he's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy around you, and you are not angry with him, then something is wrong. When you see iniquity prevailing, and you are not angry, and you are not grieved in your spirit, then something is wrong. The righteous will bear fruit. The righteous will be angry when he's supposed to be angry. Praise the Lord. That's bearing fruit. He will hate iniquity. He will hate ungodliness. When you are supposed to love and show mercy, the word of God in you, the righteous man, you will show love and you will show mercy at the appropriate time. That is how you know that Jesus is in you. Remember, I told you that it's grace that hardens faith, that makes you stand in the day of adversity, yet makes your heart tender. Otherwise, without grace, what we have is what? Stubbornness. Not the faith that stands. I've told us, I will give us back 5 minutes of our time. Praise the Lord. Can we just rise up? It is the grace of God that allows us to be tender, yet standing firm in our faith. And by reason of that word that supplies all that we need, because God is giving you the word today for because of what he wants you to do, because of what he has called you to do. He does not supply you according to just your imagination. He supplies you according to what he has created you to do in this life. So therefore, can you just speak to the Lord and say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for creating me. I thank you for every gift you have given to me. I thank you for all that you have done in my life. Father, I thank you. I know that all you have apportioned to me is for me to fulfill the role you have for me. It's for me to do that which you have asked me to do. It's for me, you know, to be relevant in my time. It's for me to be able to stand for you. It's for me to be able to be fulfilled in your kingdom. Therefore, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the distribution of your gifts to me. I thank you for the blessings you have given to me. I thank you because you have designed that I will prosper. I thank you because you have designed that I will break through. I thank you because you have designed that I will be relevant. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you for that which you have supplied. I thank you because I will use them and I will prosper by it and I will be rewarded by it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I know that the arm of flesh will fail me. If I depend upon myself, I will fail. But because I depend upon you, I will make it and I will break through. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want every parent to pray this prayer in line with what we have just heard. The reason God brought those children into your life is because of what God wants you to do in their lives. So I want all parents to just say to the Lord, say, Father, even these children that you have committed into my hand, Lord, I will do that which you want me to do in their lives. I will be that instrument that will shape them for your kingdom. I will be that instrument that will form them for your kingdom. You have given them to me because of what you want me to do. Father, I will do it right. Your spirit will lead me to do it right. Even when I'm about to miss it, you will bring me back. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' glorious name, we pray. Now, I want that wife to pray and that husband to pray. You, the wife, you are going to pray. Because the reason God gave you that husband, despite all his shortcomings, is because he's distributed to you according to what he wants you to do. And you, that husband, the reason he gave you that wife is because he's distributed to you according to what he wants you to do. So I want you to pray for your husband and pray for your wife now. And say, Father, thank you because you have created me to do this in this person's life. Therefore, I will not fail you. I will not fail you. I will be that mate that is meet for all their needs in Jesus' name. I will fulfill my role. I will encourage you. I will be a blessing to you. I will build you up all the days of my life because I've been positioned to be a blessing to your life. I will not be a failure. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' glorious name we prayed. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. The entrance of your word giveth light, give understanding to the simple. My Father, my God, we are going to have a full understanding of the reason why this word has come forth today in Jesus' name. The word will not just serve us for today, but will serve us all the days of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. You have given unto us according to the role you have for us. In all these things, all our gift will not stand against us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we are prayed. Can we share the grace?